Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And greetings of those gathered here, sisters in Christ, and of those who I hope will be listening in tomorrow, brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ on the occasion of the seventh Sunday of Easter, the seventh and final Sunday. A quick word. I hope somebody might notice that there is an altar furnishing or a chancel furnishing that's missing this week. We've had the Paschal candle throughout Easter, but as Thursday, the 40th day after Easter was the Ascension, Christ was no longer visibly present to his disciples, and so the Paschal candle has been removed before the end of Easter. As Jesus has ascended into heaven, is now with them, not visibly, until he returns at the end of the age. There is one exception to that. The Apostle Paul, as to one untimely born, had an appearance of the resurrected Christ after the ascension, but that's the only example in the Bible. So, that's just free extra theological information. It's good to have a group gathered here for this recording. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we will commemorate our veterans, especially those who gave their lives in the armed service in defense of our country and our freedoms, not the least of which is our freedom to gather, I think, for worship and the freedom of religion. And so that commemoration will be observed in the prayers of the church. I want to give special thanks to Linda Anderson, Heidi Traver, Cheryl Rood, and Hannah Scholze for joining Leslie and myself for the divine service a day ahead of time so that it can be recorded and that in a less than ideal and full way, but still an important way where the Word of God isn't bound, you also can participate tomorrow and at least follow along the service as it is being recorded. So my thanks to these fine ladies for gathering here. It is hoped that next Sunday, as I will be filling in again for Pastor Dave Stephenson at Emmanuel Lutheran, that you can enjoy a live cast and its posting, either live at 6 o'clock next Saturday or it is posted. And they hope to be addressing the sound quality because at least with a live cast, that was not very good. And hopefully it'll be better and we'll work out that situation. I think it's being worked out. So you have that to look forward to next week. And then, conditional with meeting with the leaders of our congregation in council, we'll start talking about how we can gradually start to reassemble. And I hope no matter what we do, we can come on the Lord's Day, as been the custom, and start to do it on Sunday, however we do it. So stay tuned for that. Birthdays and anniversaries. I usually just do it a week at a time, but it's been 2 weeks since we've recorded. So since we last met on May the 10th, Carissa Bjornstad celebrated a birthday on the 12th, Stella Roll on the 14th, Cole Bjornstad is celebrating a birthday today on the 23rd, and one anniversary that I'm aware of, Craig and Mary Bartos, are also celebrating today, on the 23rd, their wedding anniversary. I hope everybody is receiving bulletins at home, and there isn't a lot of announcements, but you can be taking a look at what's included there. And at this point, we will continue our service, and we'll do so by turning in the green hymn book to page 77. And we'll start with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Will the congregation please stand? I'm moving next to the baptismal font that has moved up to the front near the chancel, not having a procession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hymn 546, When Morning Gilds the Skies.
Thank you.
Our worship continues on page 78. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the first chapter of Acts. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness. And falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. So one of the men who have accompanied us, during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 68. It is found on page 244. We will do the first 10 verses of Psalm 68. Let's all do these together.
Lesson is from the 4th and 5th chapters of 1 Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. For if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, that those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You, since You have given Him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I glorified You on earth, having accomplished the work that You gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your own presence with the glory that I had with You before the world existed. I have manifested Your name to the people You gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and You gave them to me, and they have kept Your word. Now they know that in everything You have given me is from You. For I have given them the words that You gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from You, and they have believed that You sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom You have given me, for they are Yours. All mine are Yours, and Yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to You, Holy Father. Holy Father, keep them in Your name, which You have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Holy Father, keep them in Your name which You have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight. O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. And everyone said, Amen. Well, the telephone repairman arrived at the church to fix the phone lines, and there happened to be a pastor's gathering at the church, and he overheard the conversation, and it seems like pastors were debating as to what constituted effective prayer, and they were talking especially if there were a posture or a manner that was especially conducive and effective in prayer. And he overheard one pastor say, "I think the key is in kneeling. There's a humility that goes around with kneeling, and on your knees, your prayers are focused and effective." The other pastor said, "I don't know, I rather favor the biblical mold where people stood with arms outstretched, with hands toward heaven, in a receptive mode to receive all that God can give." And a third said, "I think I got you both beat. I don't think there's anything quite as humble and lowly as to prostrate oneself fully on the ground, face to the ground. I find that highly effective." The repairman couldn't help himself. He said, "I don't think any of you quite have it. I had an experience not too long ago where I was repairing a telephone line, and I was up 30 feet high, and I found myself suddenly having slipped, and I was dangling upside down 30 feet above the ground. And let me tell you, that was an effective posture for prayer." You know, some prayers seem more effective than others. And an effective prayer that always makes us feel better is when we know that someone is praying for us. "Hey, sister, I just want you to know we're praying for you every day." When we pray for somebody else, we call that intercessory prayer. And the prayers of the church in our liturgy are intercessory prayers, as we pray for all kinds of people in high places and in our own congregation, and people for whom special prayers are being given. Is it not a great comfort when we know somebody is praying for us? When we know it's a devout person that's got quite a prayer life and is full of faith, makes you feel good, doesn't it? You got to say with an affirmation for a lot of people, to have five here to cover for a whole congregation. It does make you feel good, doesn't it?
Yes.
But imagine the comfort it can give us when we realize that among the people praying for us individually, none less than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is praying for us. And He prays daily for us. What comfort indeed. So, I turn to our gospel lesson. And in our gospel lesson, it's the night before Jesus' death. And in John's gospel, this section is often called His farewell address. And as I've mentioned in past weeks, we get to the seven Sundays in Easter, and already in the fourth Sunday, we start to deal with gospel texts that take place before Jesus' death and resurrection, let alone His ascension. And I'm always taken aback a little bit, but as I shared a few weeks ago, I believe part of the wisdom for that is a lot of these texts only begin to make their full sense after Jesus' death and His resurrection, and now on this Sunday, after His visible ascent up into the sky to be taken away in the cloud. And so we dig into our gospel lesson, and as Jesus is giving His farewell discourse in the hearing of His disciples on this last night, Jesus breaks into prayer so they overhear Him praying on their behalf. And I believe by way of extension, we have every reason to know and to believe the very prayer that He would still be making for all His followers, all that have been brought to Him. And what a wonderful prayer. Jesus knows that His hour has come, as He says in His prayer. If we go back to the 12th chapter, and half of John's Gospels dealing with His final week on earth. When we go back to the 12th hour, He says, "The hour for My departure has come." And then He's real clear in the 12th chapter that His hour would be involved in being lifted up on the wood of the cross. And when He is lifted up, He would draw all people to Himself. His hour had come, and His concern was to and continue to be the salvation, the safety and preservation of His followers that had been drawn to the Father through Him. The Father had given them to Jesus, and Jesus is giving Him, the Son of God is giving Him to the Father. We don't hear mention here so much about the Holy Spirit, but you can bet all three persons of the Trinity are at work, and we'll make up a little bit for the role of the Holy Spirit and all this next Sunday as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. But He continues to pray for their salvation, which is to know the Father, and they know the Father by knowing the Son, because it's in knowing the Son that we know the Father. What is the song secular song. To know him is to love him.
And I do.
Cherish you. Aren't you glad I'm not singing it? It is. Sometimes it's not what you know in life, but it's who you know. And boy, you could not be any closer to the truth when it comes to Christianity, to know Jesus Christ, but not just to know about him, but to know him as you know a good friend, to have entrusted ourselves to have a relationship with him. And he would like to preserve that. We wouldn't stand a ghost of a chance if we hadn't been brought in the first place, and if he wasn't preserving us and knowing him for our salvation. Now, as I've been mentioning, this is post not only death and resurrection on this Sunday that we're celebrating, actually tomorrow, but it's post the ascension. And since we don't gather on Thursday for the ascension, and we're not being able to gather as much as I would like, and I hope we can remedy that very soon, sometimes we think, well, the ascension is just okay, so now he disappears. Does it accomplish anything? I think our salvation is just a continuous act from the incarnation and the crux, and that's a play on words because it's connected with the crucifixion and the cross, is a cross, which is the resurrection is continued. And then we don't make often as much, I think, of the ascension, but it's crucial in all of this too, as I hope I make clear, and the expected return at the end of the age, just one continuous act, if you will. But the cross and the resurrection are just the climax, but the work continues. So, what is Jesus doing? Going up into the sky, and as we say in the creed, he is seated at the right hand. Don't think for one minute that he's seated in the sense that he's taking the weight, the load off his feet and reclining, doing nothing. To be seated on a throne is to have power and authority. It's more of a description of what in his ascended state. Now, he's always had power and authority, but in a mystery in the incarnation, he's laid it aside, or he's never lost it, but he doesn't grasp it and doesn't use it much. But now he's fully in charge of using in all his resplendent glory in his position at the right hand of the Father. But he's accomplished something, and you can look in the lessons that I have at the bottom of the outline. In Hebrews 9, we find out he's functioning as a high priest, who once a year in ancient Israel would go into the Holy of Holies, either in the tabernacle or later in the temple, with the blood, the sacrificial blood of a bull and of a goat, to atone for the sins of the people. If it fully atoned, he wouldn't have to do this annually, but the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with that blood that atones for the sins of the people. We're told in Hebrews chapter 9 that Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has gone into the Holy of Holies, not made with human hands, a copy of the reality of the Holy of Holies that is heaven itself, that he's gone into heaven and not in the tabernacle and the temple, and with the blood that atones for our sins. One time for all, because it's effective. And it's the blood that he himself has shed as the sacrifice, as a lamb without blemish or spot. So that's part of what he's doing in the ascension, is taking the blood that cleanses us into the Holy of Holies. But I like in Hebrews 7, and more to the point of the text of the day, we read this: consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So that we can combine this prayer that we get to overhear, that the disciples overhear, and then they record it so we can overhear it, to get a really good indication of just how he continues to intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. In very summary form, I want to look at one verse to encapsulate what Jesus prays for us. At least three things. Number one, our salvation. Number two, that we be kept from trials and tribulations and all the powers of evil. And number three, that we might enjoy a oneness or a unity in the body of Christ, even as we remain cemented and bonded to Jesus, who shares a fellowship and a bond with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Those three things. By the way, I also want you to notice that as Jesus constantly prays these things for us, and the prayer that he taught us to pray, the Our Father, we call the Lord's Prayer, they're the very similar petitions. How about the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come? That has to do with our salvation. Or the fifth petition, Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Or the sixth petition, And lead us not into temptation. Or the seventh petition, But deliver us together from evil. Could be the evil one. All connected. Very reflective that what he prays, he also has us pray. What a comfort to know that he's praying them. All right, quickly, the three things. Praying for our salvation, that we might be kept and preserved, that we might have life in his name. When we talk about eternal life, I think the temptation is to think of an endless duration of life. And I'm not going to argue with that, but there's so much more than just duration, endless duration. For if the life we experience now in our fallenness, which isn't complete and isn't fulfilling and it isn't everything that it's meant to be, and it's marred by sin and the brokenness that sin and rebellion has brought into this world, an endless amount of this life may not seem like such of a great gift, but eternal life has to do with what Jesus said in John 10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly, that we might experience the spiritual life, the kind of life that is given to us before the fall, where we enjoy perfect communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a fullness of life in paradise, where we walk and we talk with God in the cool of the day, to revert back to the image in Genesis. It's an abundant life. And Jesus prays that we be kept in what we've been brought to, what we've been drawn to through the gospel, and what we have found in Jesus by his dying and rising for us. And number two, that we be kept from the ravages of this age, from the evil all around us. And the evil finds its source in the brokenness of this world, and even in our sinful self, which we call the flesh, which was consigned to death in our baptism, but like some horror movie, keeps rearing its head and coming back to life again and tormenting us. And yes, to be kept from the evil one. So we heard read in our second lesson the Apostle Peter talking about such things. First, we heard him say, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. And then, a little later in our second lesson, Peter says, Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. What a comfort to know that Jesus is praying that we be kept and preserved from this enemy, who is our mortal enemy. We are not equal to the task apart from Christ. Is really not any enemy of any substance to God. The trick, the only struggle is that God can redeem us. I mean, he can do away with the devil and evil at the snap of his finger. But how does he do that and give all of us a chance to be redeemed as he reclaims all his creation? There's really not a struggle between God and the devil, as folklore has it, but there is with the devil, with the rest of creation, and God to preserve and to rescue from the jaws of the evil one. And this Jesus is praying for. finally, the last thing that I want to highlight in these three things, our salvation and that we be kept from evil, that we might be one, even as the Son and the Father are one. That we might be united. That we might be established in fellowship, unbroken with one another. There's way too much emphasis on the individual in the modern day, and especially in our culture. We get treated as individuals, no question about it, but we see ourselves too, and I'll use the term, atomized and unconnected with one another. We search for our own identity, and we do it apart from such things that would well establish our identity. The Bible emphasizes community. The Bible emphasizes that as we are baptized, we're incorporated into Christ's body, and each one of us are members of that body, individually members connected with other members and all functioning in one body. Or Peter, since he was our second lesson, in his same letter he talks about we're like living stones being united into a spiritual household, into a temple of the Lord, mortared together as an edifice. And you know, if Jesus has to pray that we stay united with one another, that part of the work of the evil one is to divide us and to break us apart and to make us vulnerable. It's in his body as he ministers, as the Holy Spirit works through the variety of gifts in the body of Christ, that we are preserved in the salvation and in the life that we've been given, and we're kept from the evil one. And so he prays that we might remain one in the fellowship. Impossible without the forgiveness of sins. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses as others. Who are you, Leslie? Who are you, Linda? Who are you, Tim Duesenberg? We, in this age, are ashamed to say, I'm a child of my parents and of the family that God placed me in. I'm a part of the community where I was raised and a part of a nation of similar communities. That's a part of who I am. But even more importantly, I'm baptized where I was given spiritual birth and adopted into the family of God, with Christ being the eldest brother, knitted together with other Christians. Who am I? I'm a baptized believer in Jesus Christ and a part of the people of God. That's a large part of who I am, that they may remain one, Heavenly Father, Jesus prays, even as you and I are one. We all know, I trust, how important prayer is. It is vitally important. I've heard it said, as breathing is to physical life, so prayer is to our spiritual life, so prayer is to our saving relationship of being united with Jesus Christ. To be in prayer is to be drawing life from the vine. It's a branch connected and drawing its very lifeblood from the vine. That's how important prayer is. And how comforting to know, as we struggle to pray as we should and fail so miserably, that our Lord Jesus Christ does not fail to constantly before the Father, to be before the Father and intercede, continues to pray for us. And he gives us the words to say when we would have trouble with coming up with words at all. We have in our Lord Jesus an intercessor extraordinaire. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. We continue with the hymn of the day, hymn number 170. 170. Please rise.
Come
Continue on page 84, confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, true God, true from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O God, beyond all praising, make your church abide in Jesus as he abides in you. Cause it to preach the gospel of salvation and celebrate the sacraments in accordance with that gospel. Let it proclaim to the whole world your blessings without number and your mercy without end. We especially ask this for the Moravian Church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Unite our hearts with fellow disciples of your Son and with missionaries of your gospel. Let us all be so united to your beloved Son and with one another that in everything we glorify your name and spread the bounties of your mercy throughout the world. We especially pray for Didi Ponzo and the recovery of his sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let the radiance of our beautiful Savior fill the hearts and sanctify the ministries of this congregation. Make our worship into a joyful duty and our service into a sacrifice of praise. Use us to lead others to Jesus, that with us they may worship, honor, bless, and adore him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
On this Memorial Day weekend, we lovingly commend into your care all our beloved dead, especially those who gave their life in the service of their country. Keep their memories fresh and bright. Spur us to deeds of faithfulness, generosity, and self-sacrifice. And hasten the day when wars shall cease, evil is vanquished, every tear is wiped away, and you are truly all in all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach our leaders to praise your name, to love justice and righteousness, and to seek those things which make for peace. Come to the help of those whose lives are troubled by sorrow and hardship, and draw all people into the glorious and gentle rule of Christ their Savior. We especially pray for our President Donald Trump and our Governor Tony Evers. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our hearts to you in behalf of all whose lives are clouded by any sort of sickness, affliction, or sorrow. We especially pray for Berger Eckloff, Cynthia Granger, Carol Halderson, Janet Sissel, Doris Stonke, Pastor Dave Stephenson, Marge Wongen, Phil Weber, and those we now name before you. Lord, in your mercy, we'll take a moment for individual petitions and intercessions silently. O Lord, those who have died trusting in your promises now see their beautiful Savior face to face. Thank you for bestowing this blessing upon them. Continue to show to us your love. Though we are your unworthy servants, bless us with such good gifts as will sustain us and others in this life. Bring us into that endless life and light you share with all whom you have redeemed. Grant that into eternity we always sing, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forever be thine. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Also with you.
You may be seated. Heidi, could I ask you to pass the plate around? And we'll take just a moment for the offering to be collected. Five fortunate people get to make up for the giving of the rest of the congregation. The gifts are being presented at the altar as the gifts also for being consecrated as the elements have been presented on the altar as well. Please stand for the offertory.
Gather the hopes and dreams of all.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. The gifts of God for the people of God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Body of Christ given for you. Hannah, the body of Christ given for you. Linda, the body of Christ given for you. Heidi, the body of Christ given for you. Mm-hmm. Leslie, the body of Christ given for you. Mm-hmm. Cheryl, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mm-hmm. Hannah, the blood of Christ shed for you. Linda, the blood of Christ shed for you. Heidi, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mm-hmm. Leslie, the body, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for me. The blood of Christ shed for me. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Hymn 797 in the Blue Hymn Book. One more time for our Easter greeting. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.